Father, we thank you for your kingdom, the reality that it is here. And as we proclaim your kingdom come, as we are seated with you, let it come on this earth. We here, in bodily form, we receive your kingdom. And we release the increase, the manifestation, the reality of your kingdom here on earth as it is in heaven. And this we ask and we do in the name and through our Lord Jesus Christ in his authority. Amen. Amen. What we're busy doing, and I'm going to do a lot of recapping this morning. You might find, because it's all on our website, the teaching of last week and again this week and the next few weeks, you might find it very helpful to use when you're discipling and helping other believers or even new people that have been born again on how to get established in the reality of what Christ has done and the whole from the cross to the ascension and really get established in that. We find, busy now, I just spoke to someone earlier on, and all the time it's like all the issues that are taking place in their lives, and it's this demonic thing and that's this and that's and that, and it's like all the time just being harassed. And the reason is that they don't have a foundation. There's no anchor in what Christ has done and who they are in Christ Jesus. So all the time they're open to this and it's trying to find solutions and that. And so you'll find there that what we are sharing now is a very valuable insight and teaching to be able to share with people to be established in something. For those that are creative, you might want to use it and write a guideline that you can give to them, and a sort of bit of notes that you can give, and with the scriptures, and as you can go through with them, you can use it to really help them to be established in the truth that we are, the Spirit of God is busy sharing with you and I. So, to go back to where we are, remember, I began last Sunday by sharing that from August, the Holy Spirit started to share that the shift is coming. And for me, it was a very relevant one because it was 7 years from the time God spoke about what the church mindset is and the kingdom mindset, and coming out of a church mindset into a kingdom mindset and beginning to learn. And it was coming to the end of the 7th year. And so we've August, we stepped into the 8th year, and that's significant in the spiritual realm. And God began to share in the intercessories with the prophets, etc., concerning the shift. And we realized there that in August, over the Easter, the Passover weekend, when God started to teach us a little bit more, and it was that mandate to really start to pray for the family of God in our nation, so that a nation can come into its proper destiny that God has for it. Because remember, the nations is Christ's inheritance, and the body of Christ needs to be able to grasp and receive and to have the revelation of what this inheritance is to be able to be involved. Otherwise, there's no participation because there's no revelation of inheritance that's in Christ Jesus that we have in him and he has in us. And so we began, and then getting more understanding about 2, maybe 3 weeks ago, maybe about a month ago, the Holy Spirit started to emphasize the reality from the cross to the effect of Christ's ascension. And that's the shift for us. So the cross, the reality of the power of salvation, the reality of what Christ has done and us receiving that. Now the shift is for us to understand that we have been raised with Christ, his ascension. And that's why, if you can recall in John 17 all the time, I just kept on asking, what has the glorification of Jesus got to do with us here on earth, his body? And this is now the revelation that's coming through as we've been asking and God that question. And so now that Christ has been raised and glorified at the ascension, that reality, we have been raised with Him, we're seated with Him. And now the Holy Spirit wants us to get an understanding on how to be established in that and how to live from being seated with Christ. So we're no longer ground bound. We have come above that. We are now seated with Christ so that we can be effective here on earth. So that we are not, our mind is not ground bound, our soul is not ground bound, our body is not ground bound, but we understand the power of resurrection and be able to think and operate differently and to really be involved with Christ's inheritance. Okay, how to work His inheritance, how to make His inheritance become a reality in our nation and in our lives, in our towns and families, etc. So that's what we are busy looking at. And so today again, I'm going to just go through the scriptures that we've been given quite some time that we've been using, so that you can use it, so it's recorded, and you can then use it as you teach others and make disciples of other folk. I'm going to just start off in Ephesians 2 quickly, because this is the shift that we are busy with. And I'm going to just read from verse 1 right through to verse 10. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, and we'll explain that a bit as we go on, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. And that's crucial, and I'll recap now as we go. All of us who lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our sinful nature and following its desires and thoughts, very important, its desires and thoughts, like the rest, we were by nature objects of wrath. But because of His great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in our transgressions. Important. It is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up. Not He will raise up. God raised us up with Christ and seated us with Him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages He might show the incomparable riches of His grace. That word riches, sometimes I stop and I say, what are the riches of His grace? We read the word riches. What's the riches of His wisdom? Many times you'll find there the riches of His wisdom, or the riches of His grace, or the riches of, you know, His love, etc. And just to stop and say, but riches, because riches is not just money. Riches is wealth. It's abundant. There's so much more when it comes to this incredible goodness of God and the heart of God. So we read over here, in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that the coming ages He might show the incomparable riches of His grace expressed. So it's active, it's expressed in His kindness. So this riches of His grace is expressed how? In His kindness to us in Christ Jesus. So that's how we experience all of this. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this not from yourself. It is a gift of God, not by work, so that no one can boast. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which He prepared in advance for us to do. And this verse 10 that we just read now is going to play a big role in us understanding. Sometime as we've been praying together as intercessors and that, and we're praying, the reality of significance is coming through. That God is working so that we can rise into our true significance, what it is to be a child of God. And that's coming through more and more, because the good works, our significance, is all linked to this truth now of us being seated with Christ. Everything, as someone shared early on, everything is like as a shadow, really. It's not really the real thing yet. Because when we start to live from the reality of being seated with Christ, those good works that were prepared in advance, where are they? In the heavenly realms. They're with God. They come out of His heart. we're seated with Him, we start to receive those good works, and now we start to, that's the significance that we're speaking about, that's full of life, that brings glory. And so we are receiving that, we are getting to align ourselves, we're getting to believe that, so that we can be fruitful here and bring the Father glory. That's the significance when Jesus speaks about the Father and I are one. Whatever you ask in my name, I will do it. It's so that the Father is glorified. This is my Father's will, that you bear much fruit, that He's glorified. All of this now will start to become our reality as we now get into being established, that we are seated with Christ and start to renew our mind, start to think differently, start to interact with God from a position of being seated with God. You'll start to find, then we begin to understand the will of God far greater than what we've experienced right now. And this is vital, because for a move of God to touch a nation, the body of Christ is so important, for the body of Christ to understand what it is to be seated with Christ, so that there's authority. Because being seated with Christ is all about authority. It's the position with Christ. It's the authority. So when we speak, things take place here on earth as it is in heaven. As Jesus, that rich man that came to, soldier that came to Jesus and said, please come and heal my, I don't know if it was his son or his servant's son that's sick. And Jesus said, I'll come to your house. He said, no, don't come. All you got to do is speak. You see, it's authority. Being seated with Christ is authority. And that's what we need, because the church speaks, but there's no authority, because we're ground bound. We haven't stepped into the truth that we have been raised with Christ. And now we're speaking what we know, and we experience being seated with Christ. As we speak, there's authority. And that's what we're needing to be established in as we go to see a nation saved. The more we sit with God in the heavenly realms and really get established in that, the more we experience what we've just read over here, this incredible great love of God, this mercy of God, this compassion of God, this grace of God, all of that, that's all resources that you and I have to be able to use. All of that, because we are in Him, and so who He is, those are the resources that we can use. So we can be bold. Lord, you are God, are full of grace. Thank you, and we just release your grace. You see, it's resources that we are using from the kingdom realm here on earth. So it's very, but it's faith to believe that. Okay, and so that's why this is so crucial for us to get established in this. Now, I'm going to go back to where we started quite some time back in Romans chapter 6. And this is all now concerning the blood of Jesus, the power of salvation, and how we've been taken out of the old Adamic race, and we've been now placed into the new race, Christ Jesus. We often hear that saying, I'm only human. And it was mentioned again last week, I'm only human, that's why I do these things. No, that's deception. You're not, see, because that mindset is, I'm still Adam. I'm still in the bloodline. I'm still in the sin. I'm still in the power of Adam's fall. No, we are a new creation in Christ Jesus. So we are the new human in Christ Jesus. See, we've got to start think differently. Otherwise, everybody makes excuses for their behavior. And there's no victory. There's unbelief. And so they continue to battle with issues in one's life. So we've got to start thinking differently and renewing our mind to the truth, who we are in Christ Jesus, because we are a new creation in Christ Jesus. So in Romans chapter 6 verse 1, what shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? By no means. We died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? Well, don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into His death? We were therefore buried with Him through baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. So again, let's just stop for a moment, because here's such depth of insight. What has Christ's glorification got to do with us? What is the resurrection? What is the ascension got to do with us? Listen to what we read here. We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too. So the same glory that of the Father that raised Jesus from the dead is the same glory that has raised us from the dead. And that's big. And I believe that if that will be a good time for us to be able to enter in, Lord, this glory of yours, Father, that raised Jesus, because the involvement of God, the heart of God, the goodness of God, the fullness of God involved in raising his Son is the same goodness of God that raised us up with his Son Jesus Christ. So our starting point straight away is that we are living in the reality of the Father's glory involvement in our lives. We are incredible people. See, it's not woe is me, I'm this little worm kind of thing. No. We are the evidence of the glory of God involved in raising us from the dead and bringing us into this incredible life of his. And so we live knowing that we are the result of God's incredible glory. So there's a good insight to be able to go into and start, Lord, take me into what this means so that I can get understanding. So I know the reality of what it is to have been raised from the dead and seated with your Son, Jesus Christ. I know the glory of this, the significance of this resurrection and this ascension. How many Christians understand that? How many Christians are battling? How many Christians are, oh man, just like the rest of the world? How many Christians are so tormented with the mind and in bondage and, oh, you know, because they don't know this stuff. And that's why we are privileged. The Holy Spirit is teaching us so that we can help, we can disciple, we can be a blessing to so many people's lives and helping them to begin to understand what it is to live in the fruitfulness and the effect of the glory of God who raised Jesus, and we too have a new life. See, that's the thing. So we spend time in looking at that. Now we carry on. That's why renewing the mind now. If we have been united with him like this in his death, we will certainly also be united with him in his resurrection. For we know that our old self, this is the old Adam man that we were, was crucified with him so that the body of sin might be done away with, that we would no longer be slaves to sin, because anyone who has died has been freed from sin. Now if we died with Christ, we believe, this is the faith reality, remember faith is being fully persuaded of this truth, God has given revelation, we believe that we will also live with him, for we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, he cannot die again. Death no longer has mastery over him. The death he died to sin once and for all, but the life he lives to God. In the same way, so this is the application, in the same way, count yourself dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you obey its evil desires. Do not offer the parts of your body to sin as an instrument, but rather offer your bodies as a living sacrifice unto God. Okay? But rather offer your bodies to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and offer the parts of your bodies to him as instruments of righteousness, for sin shall not be your master, because you are not under law but under grace. So last Sunday, I went back and we just quickly went to the time when God created man, and God breathed into Adam, and Adam became a living being. So it was the breath of God, the Spirit of God entered into Adam, and with the Spirit of God coming into Adam's spirit, Adam now became alive. And God said, if you eat of that tree, etc., you're going to die. So when they disobeyed God, God's life in Adam was removed, and that is why there was that spiritual death that took place in mankind. So from that moment of Adam and Eve, all of us, from that moment onwards, we were born with a dead spirit. See, our human spirit was, you know, that's why we're living, because of our human spirit. When we die on the earth, we give out our spirit, we breathe out our spirit. But the life of God, the eternal life of God, the glorious life of God was removed. We've never experienced that. So for all our life, because we are living from a dead spirit, we thought from a dead spirit. Our bodies and the passions and the desires and the self-centeredness, etc., that's the result of having a dead spirit. It's a self-centered thing. And so we lived for many years. That's the behavior. That's the practice. That's what we knew. But the day came when the Spirit of God came and broke through into our lives, and we had the revelation of Jesus Christ, and we simply received by faith what God has done, as we see here in Ephesians 2. By faith we've been saved by grace through faith. What took place? Then we accepted and we received what Christ did for us. So when we now get into our mind and we by faith receive this, Jesus, when you rose from the dead, what took place? My dead spirit was raised from the dead. So my spirit has been resurrected. My body, the last thing will be is the resurrection of the body. Okay, but my spirit has been resurrected. So now what took place? When my spirit was dead, now God's spirit came into my spirit, and now my spirit has eternal life. My spirit has God's quality of life in it forever and ever. That's why we cannot die. That's why we have eternal life. That's why death does not have a sting over us. Because our spirit's got God's spirit. God is eternal. He can't die. It's inside of us. Our spirit is one. It's in, as partners, partaking. There's a union. There's a oneness. So now, the rest of our Christian life now, as children of God, we are now learning how to live from a spirit that's been raised from the dead. Okay, that's the journey, that's the renewing of the mind, that's how we start to understand how to start living from. So, and when people come, as I shared last week, many times people come for counseling and all they want is for us to satisfy the practice of living from a dead spirit for so many years. And they want answers and they want that. No, they've got to understand that that is no longer their reality. They have a resurrected spirit that's got God's life in it. Now they need to learn how to live from the spirit, so that from the spirit it flows into your soul and throughout into your actions. So from your spirit that knows peace, your spirit, the fruit of the spirit, your spirit knows peace, joy, etc. But your mind doesn't know peace, joy. Your emotions don't know peace and joy. It's full of anxiety, worry, concern, and panic, etc., etc. So now when we realize, but my spirit doesn't know this stuff, my body, that's how I used to live as when I was not saved. Okay, now my spirit is knowing that. Now how do I start to learn how to live from the spirit where there's peace, joy, there's love, etc.? And so we renew our mind and we start to dwell and we start, thank you, Holy Spirit, you in me. My spirit there. That's, I'm not going to worry anymore. I'm not going to be anxious because that's not who I am. So we are getting established. We're putting into practice. Work out your salvation. See, that's what it's all about. Add to your faith goodness. We're adding so that which is our reality in the spirit and our spirit knows now becomes our experience. Okay, so that's what we've been looking at. So here again, in the same way, count yourself. So it's so crucial for us to begin to just think differently, align ourselves to the fact of what Christ has done. We also went to Colossians chapter 2. And let me read Colossians 2. I'm going to read here from verse 6. So then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in Him, rooted and built up in Him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. See to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human traditions and the basic principles of this world rather than on Christ. A lot of what he's speaking about here is to do with a lot of the religious activities that are taking place. They were depending on these religious activities to get righteous before God. But we have received Christ as Lord and Savior. We continue to live in Him, and you are being rooted and established and built up in Him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thanksgiving. For in Christ, and this I still need, for me personally, I need to go into this. I know very little about this. For in Christ, all the fullness of that deity live in bodily form. And you have been given fullness in Christ. And this is what we're going to receive when we start to realize, but Jesus, my life is in you. I'm raised with you. I'm seated with you. We will start to get revelation of what this means, and you have been given fullness in Christ, who is the head over every power and authority. In Him you were also circumcised in the putting off of the sinful nature, not with the circumcision done by the hands of men, but with the circumcision done by Christ. Having been buried with Him in baptism, again we go back to Romans 6, and raised with Him through your faith in the power of God who raised Him from the dead. Then he says, you were dead in your sins and in your uncircumcision of your sinful nature, because our spirit was dead. But God made you alive with Christ. Our spirit was resurrected from the dead in Christ Jesus. He forgave us all our sins, having cancelled the written code with its regulations that was against us, with all its regulations that were against us, that stood opposed to us. He took it away, nailing it to the cross, and having disarmed the powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. We're speaking about being seated with Christ. We're speaking about what he has done and our authority in Jesus in dealing with the powers and authorities that were against us. It's dealing with the power of sin. It's dealing with the demonic realm. It's dealing with all of these things. Remember, Satan is a spirit, the spirit of disobedience. We've entered into the spirit of obedience, Jesus Christ. We are spirit being, our spirit is alive. So our spirit is no longer controlled by the spirit of disobedience, because our spirit is righteous in Christ Jesus now. That's why we've got authority. That's why we can start to move and see the kingdom of God manifest. Okay. Therefore, do not let anyone judge you by what you eat or drink with regards to religious festivals, etc., a new moon celebration or a Sabbath day. These are the shadow of the things that were to come. The reality, however, is found in Christ. And that's got to do with our good works as well. The reality of our good works is found in Christ, not in our own definition. It's been found in Christ, seated with Him in the heavenly realms, and we will get deep insight into that. Do not let anyone who delights in false humility and the worship of angels disqualify you for the prize. Such a person goes into great detail about what he has seen, and his unspiritual mind puffs him up with idle notions. He has lost connection with the head, from whom the whole body, supported and held together by its ligaments and sinews, grows as God causes it to grow. Isn't that fascinating? The body of Christ, we grow as God causes us to grow. That's interesting. So we see over here from the early stage, Pentecost, baby church. Where are we heading to? As God causes us to grow into the fullness of the deity that lives in us. So you can see there's a tremendous journey for all of us. Being a child of God is not stagnant. See, all the time the Holy Spirit is leading us deeper and deeper into the reality of who we really are in Christ Jesus, so that we live according to that. Then he says, now this is important, since you died with Christ to the basic principles of the world, we're no longer ground bound, we're dead to being ground bound to all the rules and regulations of how things happen, what men says this is what goodness is and what this is, etc. We're dead to all of that. Then it carries on. Why, as though you still belong to it, do you submit to its rules? Do not handle, do not taste, etc., do not touch. These are all destined to perish with use because they are based on human commands and teachings. Such regulations indeed have an appearance of wisdom with their self-imposed worship, their false humility, and their harsh treatment of the body, but, and this is the key, but they lack the any value in restraining sensual indulgence. So all religions lack the power to deal with the power of sin that was in mankind. All religions do not have the answer for that. It's only in Christ Jesus. Because in Him, Adam is dead. In Him, we have the ministry of the Holy Spirit, the law of the Spirit that gives life. In Him, we have His life within us. In Him, we are no longer slaves to sin. In Him, we can now offer our bodies as a living sacrifice for His glory. In Him, the members of our body is now instruments of righteousness in Him. Religion cannot do that. Only the person Jesus Christ and our union with Jesus. And this is crucial when we now begin to understand how to get victory. People will say to me, the other day I was in the shop and someone said, but what about the wounded soldiers? And I said, people are wounded because they refuse to accept the truth of Jesus. Because His word is life. If you don't want to accept the truth and begin to take hold of that truth, you're going to stay wounded. And that, so part of the truth of God's word is that His Spirit is in us, and by His Spirit we get revelation of His love. Part of the truth is that our spirit is seated with Him. Our spirit is not wounded. You see, and how to begin to live from that there. So many people stay wounded because they simply do not know truth, or they have rejected truth, and they prefer the truth of their woundedness. Guys, we have an opportunity in making disciples of all nations. Wherever we are, people are going to be drawn, and you've got an answer. You can take them through what we're sharing and help them to really be established in our Lord Jesus Christ. So we looked at that. Then in Colossians chapter 3, verse 1, going through many scriptures because it's so relevant for us to have the scriptural basis of that foundation of, to be seated with Christ, so that we've got a foundation and we're not getting wayward there with all kinds of things. Okay, so they lack any value in restraining sensual indulgence. Only the power of Jesus, only life in Christ that we have the victory. Keep in step with the Holy Spirit, you will not indulge in the flesh and all that. Since then, again, notice this, since then you have been raised. Not you're going to be raised, you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. Whom Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with Him in glory. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature. That's the sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, greed, which is adultery. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in the ways, because our spirit was dead, that's all we knew. We used to walk in these ways, in the life that we once lived. But now you must rid yourself of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with his practices and have put on the new self, the new who we are in Christ Jesus. We're no longer Adam. We're now a new creation in Christ Jesus. We've put that on by faith. We keep on renewing our mind to that, which is being renewed. The more we do this, the more we practice this, the more we get established in this, what's happening over there, who we really are in Christ, we are being renewed in the knowledge, in the image of His Creator. And so we've read through that there. So here again, a very important truth for us to be established in. The application is the renewal of the mind. The application is that when I find myself wanting to defend myself, to have my say, you know, whether it's in relationships, you know what it's like in marriages and things like that, or, you know, they always have to have the last word kind of thing. If I find myself wanting to really destroy, to belittle, or to bring up the people's past, etc., etc., then you know, wow, that's not who I am. That was when I lived with a dead spirit. That's not who I am anymore. So now I've got to stop. I've got to take all these thoughts captive and bring it under the lordship of our Lord Jesus Christ. And now, what's His mind about this? Now, from a spirit that's alive, what will my behavior look like now? What will my response be like now? And this is how we start to learn how to walk in the Spirit, how to keep in step with the Spirit. And the fruit of the Spirit now starts to manifest from our lives. Okay, so that's the growth that we need to be established in. Remember when we looked at 2 Peter? Again, I'm just going to read a few verses here. This is such a big thing, this, what Peter is writing here in chapter 1. To those who through the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ have received a faith. So yeah, again, the gift of faith. We've received a faith from God as precious as ours. Grace and peace be yours in abundance through the knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ. Because of an intimate relationship, an intimate knowing God, we now experience the abundance of grace and peace flowing into our lives. His divine power, this is the power of Christ's death and resurrection, the power of the Holy Spirit that's within us, has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness. Again, you see, the resurrection of Jesus, He has called us by His own glory and goodness. Through these, through this incredible glory and this goodness of God, through these He has given us His very great and precious promises. So remember Ephesians 1 verse 3? Praise be to God, our Heavenly Father, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. That's who we are in Christ Jesus. Okay? Again, through these He has given us His very great and precious promises, that through them, through these promises that we have received by God, we may participate in the divine nature and escape, again, the corruption of the world caused by its evil desires. Therefore, for this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, knowledge, self-control, perseverance, and to perseverance, godliness, brotherly love, and to brotherly love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But if anyone does not have them, he is nearsighted and blind, and has forgotten that he has been cleansed from his past sins. And that's why it's so important for us to renew our mind, otherwise we forget the reality of what it has meant to have died with Christ and raised with Him. We get caught up, and once again we start to be enslaved by just the battles and the fears and the mindsets and that of the practice of living from a dead spirit. That's no longer us. We are a new creation in Christ Jesus. So here we see when Peter writes about add to your faith, you have received a faith. God is revealing something to us. Now, how do you add to your faith? Well, by receiving. Thank you, the Lord God. I've been seated with you in the heavenly realms. I'm adding revelation that God has given, and now I'm beginning to renew my mind. I'm beginning to apply. So the revelation is now added to my faith. Now my faith is manifesting far greater fruit and manifestations of what it is to be a child of God. See, so that's how we increase, that's how we become more fruitful, and it's ever increasing, so we get to know. Many people get born again and they never add. They stop that salvation. And so they're stuck. They don't know the fullness of God. They don't know the goodness of God because they're stuck. They don't want to go and spend time with God and, Lord, show me what are you saying over here in the Word of God, in a relationship. And so we get stuck in these areas. But whatever the Holy Spirit is speaking into our lives, we must receive. We're adding to our faith, and we start to walk in the fruit of that. Our life becomes rich. Our life becomes fruitful. Our life starts to make a difference. We start to understand purpose. We start to understand what it is to have a fulfilled life here on earth, because we're adding and we're experiencing, and we're becoming more and more effective and not unproductive in our relationship with God. I'm not going to spend too much more time. I want to go to Galatians 5. Because next week, God willing, I want to go into the reality of being seated with Christ. But this is an important foundation from last week and this week. Remember in Galatians chapter 5 in verse 16, "So I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature." And this is what makes us so different and unique. Remember when we looked at Romans and we saw over there Colossians 2, that all those religious practices could not stop the sinful nature from working. Okay? Because they did not have Holy Spirit, the Spirit of life within. It's only because you and I have the Holy Spirit that we are able to be free from being enslaved to sin. So I say, live by the Spirit, it's a lifestyle now, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. Religion can't do that. For the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. They are in conflict with each other, so that you do not do what you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under that law anymore. Because now there's the law of the Spirit is now operating within us. And then it carries on about the acts of the sinful nature and the fruit of the Spirit. Now, those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature with his passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. And that's very much so. One last scripture that I want to go through here is Romans chapter 8. And remember, we spoke some time on this about life in the Spirit. Let me just read a few verses. Therefore, there is now no condemnation, verse 1, for those who are in Christ Jesus. Because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life set me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law was powerless to do, in that it was weakened by the sinful nature, so when God gave Moses the law, there's no ways that man could keep that law because the sinful nature, they were living from a dead spirit. And that dead spirit always went against the law of God. All the time. They couldn't help it. That's the reality of a dead spirit. Now, when we understand the glory of that old covenant, and you start to get a glimpse of the glory of the new covenant, the new heart, and now the glorious ministry of the Holy Spirit that writes on our heart the very things of God, we begin to start to realize, wow, God, you are writing in my spirit, for my spirit into my heart, the glorious reality of a new covenant lifestyle. And I can live from that place. And we start to then begin to see the incredible glory of the new covenant. That you will see as you move forward. It'll open up and you will say, wow, God, this is pretty, pretty awesome to be a child of God. And then when you have communion, now you'll understand more and more of the reality of this is the new covenant in my body and blood. Understand, wow, Lord, we've got a resurrected spirit. We are seated with you in the realm of glory. My spirit is knowing what this is all about. My mind does not yet know yet. But I thank you, by the Holy Spirit, you start to share with us the mind of God. And now, as Paul prays, that's why you'll find there in the prayer of Paul all the time, because when you are seated up there in the heavenly realms with Christ, you know that unless the Holy Spirit gives revelation, we're not going to get it. So what was Paul's prayer all the time? Father, give them a spirit of wisdom and revelation. All the time. Because he knew with our carnal minds, no. We need the Holy Spirit's work. So now when we pray from knowing the reality of what we experience in the spirit realm, now when you pray, you know, Father, thank you for the resources, Holy Spirit, Spirit of Truth. Thank you. Yeah, Holy Spirit, you are here. Thank you. As you go and you share, I will do my part in proclaiming the good news, but I thank you that you will show up and you will write on their heart and break through the darkness. Now there's faith. You're walking with confidence. You're walking in the reality of being seated with Christ. You're walking in the reality of having the resources of God working for us so that the kingdom is working for us. It's a different way of life. May God open this up. So in Romans 8, we carry on and we read here, for what the law was powerless to do, in that it was weakened by the sinful nature, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful man to be a sin offering. And so he condemned sin in the sinful man. So that when Christ went to the cross, God dealt with the reality of the Adam consequences, the consequences of sin in us. He's dealt with that over there, so that's why there's no condemnation for us, because we are now taken out of Adam, we are in Christ Jesus, in order that the righteous requirements of the law might be fully met in us, we who do not live according to the sinful nature, but according to the Spirit. Now, I want to read through this very slowly, because here I want to touch one verse, but just to get to that verse, those who live according to the sinful nature have their minds set on what that nature desires. Okay, because the dead spirit is always about a dead mind. But those who live accordance with the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. Okay, that's application. Colossians 1, since we've been raised with Christ, set your mind on things above and your heart on things above. Okay, we get to understand the very thoughts of God, who is Spirit. The mind of the sinful man is death, okay, because the spirit is dead. But the mind controlled by the Spirit is life and peace. That's profound. And that's why when I'm anxious, when I'm worried, I know that I'm living not from my spirit. I'm living from the practice of thinking with the dead spirit. You see, to be seated with Christ, to rule and reign, this is foundational for us to be established in. Otherwise, we will rule and reign from the practice of a dead mind, a dead spirit, and we will pray according to that. And there's no authority, there's no change. So a lot of prayers go up. There's no value, there's nothing happening. Okay, so that's why this is so important. To recognize the symptoms, whether we are living in the spirit or we're living from the practice of what we used to do when our spirit was dead. The sinful mind is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those controlled by the sinful nature cannot please God. You, however, this is us who have been baptized in Christ Jesus, born again, raised from the dead. You, however, are controlled not by the sinful nature, that's not us anymore, but by the Spirit, if the Spirit of God lives in you. And this is why the yieldedness to the Holy Spirit and the openness to the Holy Spirit, because this is the truth. We are no longer controlled by the sinful nature, no. We are controlled by the Holy Spirit. We are led by the Holy Spirit. It's just black and white, that's it. No arguments in these things. So it's an acceptance of truth, and we start to experience the fruit. We're adding to our faith, and we start to experience how the Spirit of God lives in us. And I love the word God, the Spirit of God lives in us. I don't know about you, but a living person is quite active and involved and communicates and shares and rejoices and does all things in our lives. God lives and enjoys and shares within us. It's not a religion. It's not something that's just written. It's alive. It's active. He's a person. Lives inside of us. Good gospel is good news. And then we carry on. And anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Christ. But if Christ is in you, your body is dead because of sin, okay? Yet your spirit is alive because of righteousness. That's the whole thing, that our spirit has been raised from the dead. It's now a live spirit. And we live from our spirit that's in union with Holy Spirit. Jesus is spirit. The Father is spirit. Holy Spirit is spirit. We live in union with God. And if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who lives in you. Now this is so important, because many times we take this referring to the day we're going to be raised from the dead. No, no, no. This is also to do with the now reality. Let's read it again. And if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in us, remember, we have got the Holy Spirit of God living in us. Now, because God's Spirit is living in us, he will also give life to your mortal body. So when this body, the body of sin, is battling with all its appetites, it's practiced in living from this dead, from a dead spirit. Now when I realize, but no, my spirit is alive, and because your Holy Spirit in me, you will give life to this mortal body. So I'm no longer participating in what I used to participate in. Your life is giving me the victory. Your life within me breaks the law of how I used to live when my spirit was dead. Your life in me is breaking the law of how I used to think when my spirit was dead. His life, it's divine life that is imparted into our soul, into our body, so that we are no longer slaves to sin. But now we can offer our bodies and really be a vessel of honor for God's glory. This is the difference between religion and being in Jesus Christ. Huge. And this is I think Satan has kept the believers from truths like this. And so the gospel is not, this is not included in sharing the gospel of God. It's all about prosperity. It's all about this. It's self-motivating talks all the time. No, and so the body of Christ in our nation is captured. A body of Christ, a large percentage, is so caught up being ground bound, and the devil's quite happy because the devil can continue ruling and reigning and doing his stuff through people that are disobedient, etc. But now that's shifting. Now the move of God is wakening up the family of God to realize, whoa, this is who we are in him. This is our reality. This is the power that's operating within us. This is the victory we have. We don't no longer have to be slaves to that, because when we're slaves to that, we don't have authority. No, no, no. Now we're releasing, and there's the life of God is being released into our mortal bodies. So now we can live. We can walk in authority, seated with Christ in the heavenly realms. So our spirit understands that now our bodies on the earth starts to experience the life flowing into our bodies. So we are living a holy life. We are living a righteous life. We are able to, in our conduct, in our lifestyle, reflect the life of God within us, the victory. So say goodbye to the old South Africa and say, South Africa, here we come. This army of God. South Africa, you've been groaning for a long time. But now, the sons of God, the children of God, the mature children of God is rising up. The blood of Jesus has redeemed, and South Africa, you are Christ's inheritance. We're going to take hold of Christ's inheritance so that we can offer it to Him and say, "Here's your inheritance, Jesus. Thank you for it." We can be part of getting your inheritance becoming a reality on earth as it is in heaven, and be involved with that. So a great purpose for our life. And that's why, as we get established in this, we'll understand the good works. We'll understand the significance of the body of Christ in our nation. And that's why Jesus said, right in Easter weekend, John 17, pray for the body of Christ, that they may be one, as we and the Father are one. That's the oneness we're speaking about. So this being seated with Christ as the reality of being one in Christ Jesus, seated with Him. And now we start to move, live, and have our being in Christ from the place of oneness in Him, seated with Him. Powerful, powerful body of Christ emerging now. Powerful believers. So when darkness increases over a nation, the glory of God rises. And that's what's happening. So we're coming to elections, we're coming to all kinds of stuff. We can be groundbound, and we can participate from all the dead practice of a dead spirit and think differently like that and behave like that. Or we can now, from a living spirit raised with Christ, understanding, Lord Jesus, the power of your blood, the power of your sacrifice. How do we begin to see your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven? That's our mandate. That's our calling. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these other things shall be added. That's what it is when we're seated with Christ. This is now how it works. The kingdom of God is our passion. To see our King glorified, His rule, His way of doing things manifest here on earth. People's lives being saved. So hopefully you're finding purpose. And understanding your destiny, our destinies in Christ Jesus. Amen. So Father, thank you so much. You are such a brilliant Father. So good. So generous. So selfless. And as you just poured out yourself to us, as you've given yourself to us, we want to thank you, Jesus, as we partake this morning in the reality of your death and resurrection. We want to thank you for the power of your incredible sacrifice. And even now we can stand with you. And as we partake, seated with you in the heavenly realms, drinking and just celebrating covenant in a very real way, we release over earth. We release the power of your broken body. We release that on your body, you took upon your body the sin, the transgression, the iniquity. You took upon your body the judgment of God that was for us. You took upon your body the diseases and the sicknesses, the infirmities, and all of that you've taken upon your body. So we take a bold step this morning as we partake and we break the bread and we drink the wine. We release the power of your broken body. But also we release the power of your resurrection body. We release the revelation that that veil has been torn, and through your body you've entered into the most glory of glories, where we are seated with you, that we can be one with the Father and with you and with Holy Spirit and with one another. We release the revelation of that in Jesus' name. Your blood, Lord, as we partake and we celebrate the power of this blood that has sealed, has made atonement, that has atoned for the sin. And as we look at our nation, we can speak and we can say, Lord Jesus, your blood speaks a better word than the blood of Cain. Your blood we loose over the earth. We release it over our nation in South Africa. Your blood of atonement, your blood of redemption, your blood that gives life, your blood has brought about a new covenant. We just release the impact that deals with the sin of generations, that deals with the sin of present and the future sin. We want to thank you for the power of your blood over this nation, loosing this nation from all the consequences of living from a dead spirit. And we speak over South Africa the breath of God, the Holy Spirit, the resurrection from the dead. And we just release Holy Spirit's ministry here to bring about a move, the fire of God, to bring about the incredible river of God, to bring about the life of God into our nation, that people's lives now will begin to experience divine encounter after divine encounter. But Father, we thank you for those seven angels that you showed in over the past over weekend, and we receive all of the activity, and we release the activity, and we say to them as well, here on earth, let your ministry work and bring about the salvation that is needed to help people come through, to bring about healing, deliverance, revelation, boldness, courage, destiny, understanding of purpose, to bring about the peace and the joy and the rest, to bring about things that is destined for us. And we thank you for that today. So Lord, this morning as we partake in communion, what a joy to be involved with what you are up to for our nation. And we thank you for that. Father, be glorified. Thank you for sharing with us this morning. Thank you for taking us into your heart. Amen. Amen.